What's up? What's happening? Welcome back to episode 87 of Skates at the Stakes. I'm your host, AJ DeVito, and it was ugly. It was ugly. It all started to come crashing down. A loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yes, the Connor Bedard Blue Jackets, potentially. And we lost to the Sabres. We got shut out by the Sabres by a goalie who let up 10 goals in the last hockey game he appeared in. He shuts us out, shuts the door the next game he plays against the New York Islanders. 2.5 weeks later, just wild stuff. It's so New York Islanders, man. It sucks, but we're still number one in the wild card. Still have decent math, and it's not over yet. Still 10 games to go. Boys, how are we feeling? Ryan, we'll kick it off to you.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Skates of the Stakes. Thank you guys for the continued support here of the pod. Really appreciate it as we wind down on the 2022-2023 season in the constant war against the math as this playoff race is sneaking into, like, clenched cheeks time. So basically, yeah, AJ kind of covered it here. The last two games after we had a statement win against Toronto have gone off the rails as we gave up, you know, 5 goals to the mighty Columbus Blue Jackets. I hate playing Columbus. It's frustrating in Columbus, especially with those damn cannons. Always kills me. And yeah, they got our first win off us in a while. And then against Buffalo on Saturday, Buffalo, you know, still kind of in the race, hanging around, had a bad month. But yeah, they won their first game in 16 matchups at an Islander home arena. So that span stretches across Nassau Coliseum, Barclays Center, Nassau Coliseum and UBS Arena finally gets broken by the Super Sabres. Just really annoying stuff there to lose that. But we move, we rock. We're down to the stretch run as the team only has 7 or 8 games left here to kind of right the ship and finish strong. But, you know, the doubts are starting to creep in here. But we'll keep our heads on and I'll kick it over to Jake. Jake, how's it going, pal?
Yeah, math still good. We love the math, but obviously not an ideal Friday, Saturday for New York Islanders. Only to get 1 point. Did come back in the third period on Friday, but still lost the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then that definitely was a hockey game on Saturday, but wasn't a good one. It's Buffalo Sabres. Kyle Poso goal. Eric Comrie shutout. Something only in the script would make, but. Yeah, pretty big week here, and hopefully we take some dubs starting tomorrow.
We didn't even mention the Michigan that Ken Johnson pulled off on us. I hate everything so much because, one, we got dunked on by someone who lives in Ohio. Two, this was the first Michigan to be scored this year. And, of course, it had to come on the New York Islanders and Ilya Sorokin. That one kind of stung a bit. I was a little pissed off about that. It was a really nice goal, really nice play. But as Ryan would call it, it's TikTok hockey.
Yeah, you know, we gave up 5. Sorokin wasn't at his best against Columbus. Not to fault him for the loss. It was a lot of on the defense as well. But, you know, Columbus came to play. Palmieri said after the game we weren't ready, which sucks to hear, honestly. Like a lot of people appreciate him being candid there, but, like, just show up ready to play. That's not, like, a reasonable excuse in my opinion. But yeah, no, some dumb TikTok hockey shit by Ken Johnson, you know, doing that on the Vezina winner, take some cojones and everything, or Vezina candidate, probably top 2 finish this year for Sorokin. But, like, it takes some cojones to pull that off, but still, it's just really annoying when it happens to your team. And, you know, we'll get into the skill issue with our team and some of the faults of the offense right now, but yeah, we don't really have anyone who would pull out the Michigan unless Matt Barzal miraculously returned from the dead this week, which I have a strong feeling he will. But, like, we'll see when Barzy comes back. But it's just frustrating to have that happen to you. No place for it in the game, you know. I don't want to go full Tortorella on it, but, like, it's so annoying when it happens to you. Oh, my God.
First time, it was bound to happen eventually, but I was expecting Svechnikov, not fucking Ken Johnson, but it's whatever. We lost that game. We really didn't deserve to win it. I know some people were very happy that they even managed to get 2 points out of 1 point, excuse me, out of that game. I couldn't disagree more. I was very disappointed with the outcome. I was very disappointed how they played. I don't care that they came back in the third period against the quote-unquote Columbus Blue Jackets. Columbus isn't a terrible team. I know standing-wise they're bad, but they play better than their stats show. But holy hell, did they not? I don't want to say they didn't try. They just looked terrible. They couldn't get anything through. They couldn't really play quote unquote Islanders hockey. It was brutal. And then Anders Lee. Anders freaking penalty back at it again. Took one of the stupidest penalties and debatably one of what could be one of the costly penalties of the season. With 40 seconds left in the offensive zone, he takes a high sticking penalty. Really? Really? Come on. That's unacceptable, especially from your captain. And then what does he do the next game, the next night? He gets another night to redeem himself against Buffalo at home. God awful. Terrible in the Buffalo game. That first line's been terrible. Some are saying Boo Horvat, Anders Lee, and Josh Bailey. They just are not it.
Yeah, we can get into the Horvat discourse quick. You know, I put out a tweet today. Yesterday, I was a little frustrated, like everyone. Like, can we get a goal out of Bo? And then I slept on it, thought about it, argued with some dorks on the internet in the morning on actually, no, the trades don't make sense. You're just being revisionist, and calling him mid doesn't really help anyone. He's still adjusting. It would have been a lot bigger if he adjusted quicker here, but he's still adjusting. And, you know, he's suffering for, you know, Rosner put off, shout out Rosner, who moved on to the Hockey Writers this week, but Stefan Rosner, friend of the pod. But basically, like, you know, Horvat is in the Barzal role where he's playing with Anders Lee, who you can call, you know, some people might call him a C plus, but he's definitely a B or B plus player in this league, and Josh Bailey, who's an F, and Simon Holmstrom, who's like a D. You know, like if you're doing overalls in the NHL video game, Bailey at this point is like 78 overall, and Holmstrom's like a marginal upgrade, like a 79. And then Lee is just kind of parking himself in front of the net. So Bo's being asked to be the creator here. Like, I think you need some speed around Horvat. I think you need someone who could create for him. And, you know, the million-dollar idea there, the reason you make that trade is so that's Matt Barzal. And Matt Barzal is supposed to be here, but injuries happen. It's unfortunate. And the boys have been doing awesome for doing this without Barzy, but it's really starting to hurt them how like feeble this first line looks. And you saw the second line really came alive in that Columbus game. 2 goals for Brock, goal and assist for Palms. And like the second line's so dominant right now that it might be the time to like shake it up, move some guys from the third line to the first line. I don't think anyone would hate seeing Zach and Hudson flank Horvat. But then there's the captain's pride thing of keeping Lee on the first line or keeping Lee in the top six. And it's gonna mess something up because he's just gonna park himself in front of the net. But it is a pain, and we have to figure this problem out quick. If Barzal comes back tomorrow against the Devils, which we're gonna have this out in the morning, hopefully. So you know, it could age out real quick. Barzal's back, Barzal's not back. But if he's back for the next week, I feel a lot better about like what Horvat's going to be able to do, and his numbers with Barzal are amazing, but his numbers without Barzal aren't great. And you know, he's who we think he is. He's like a 1C who can, you know, carry play. He can definitely carry play in the league, but he's not going to be able to carry one atrocious line mate and another line mate playing atrociously. So it's kind of it on Horvat. My referendum today was, you know, thinking of the Lindor contract when the Mets got Lindor was really shaky at the start. He had a bad first 2 months and then settled in and just became the guy he was previously. Bo Horvat, our friend Zach, put out a really good thread today. You know, analytically, he's still playing great. It's just the big chances aren't going in, and he's not going to shoot 0% forever, but he's still one of our best players on the ice every night. So it's hard. He's had two really bad games and a third bad game if you want to trace back to Toronto. But a lot of Horvat discourse that's been making me really frustrated. Jake, what do you think about the Horvat discourse right now?
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand why the Islander fans are upset. You trade for a guy who coming in had 31 goals coming into the All-Star break, and he has 2 goals in, I think, 11 games, is this that, 2 assists in that time as well. So he's not producing, but you watch him play. He does mostly everything right. Zach put out a tremendous thread, like you said, doing really well analytically, just his shooting percentage, 3%. That'll obviously go up. Just a really rough stretch right now. And they need Barzal back. I know I'm playing with a different line mate on the right every night. Seems to be Simon, Josh. Sometimes Kyle Clutterbuck's up there mid-game. And Anders Lee, you know, it's got to be rough for him just adjusting. You know, him and Barzal kind of clicked in the beginning, and then he got hurt in the Boston game, and it's kind of been a little since. So I get why people are upset, but I don't think this is a trend that's going to continue. There's a reason why they acquired him. There's a reason why they gave him $8.5 million. So you just got to hope Barzell's back relatively soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next game, and then hopefully Bo can get cooking soon.
Yeah, I'm just kidding around with the Boo Horvat stuff, obviously. He'll be fine. I'm not too worried yet. He needs to get cooking either way because we're not locked into the playoffs yet. We really need that one seed as well, and he's not helping. I'm not going to blame the Buffalo or the Columbus game on, you know, his behalf entirely, but if you watch that goal back, he fucked up on the Buffalo game, and the Columbus game, he really wasn't doing anything either. I'm not mad at him. I'm not upset with him. He needs to be better, though, especially because we're giving him $8.5 million for the next 7 years, 8 years. It'll be fine. I'm not worried yet, but he needs to be better.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're not putting him in a position to succeed. Like, if his contract was winding down and we didn't have the extension in the hand right now, like, he would be looking, like, to his left and seeing Anders leave right in front of the net on every play, every run down, and seeing Josh Bailey literally falling. That's the point Josh Bailey's gone to, where he's pulling aho moments every time he's in the zone. And then Holmstrom, who's trying his best, but he really isn't, you know, first-line quality. It's very fair to say. You know, they're not putting him in a position to succeed, and this is on Lane right now. Lane is, you know, he got out-coached the past two games after a really good performance against Toronto, but it's just frustrating to see this happen. These are, you know, Granato's an okay coach, but the guy Columbus had's an absolute bum. And to be able to, like, let them be in a game with you, this is something that would never happen under Barry Trotz. Just super frustrating. He needs to be better. He needs to step up this week. We got the Devils next. Huge game. Could be a playoff preview.
And I'll be there.
Oh, and you'll be there. Hell yeah, brother. I was thinking about going, but I can't pull it. But yeah, no, it's going to be a, like, hopefully we had one absolute stinker, probably the worst game of the season, came against the Devils, either that or the Toronto thrashing we got earlier. We got that, but we also have, you know, a really resounding win against New Jersey in our hand, and they'll be out for blood against us, or maybe they'll just be celebrating the clinching the playoffs for the first time in a couple of years too hard. But, you know, we got to come ready for war tomorrow and the rest of the week and get some big dubs here.
The best but worst part with everything is I'm really happy with the other three forward lines. It's just the first one that's really bothering me right now. What do you think? I love the second line. The third line's awesome. And Clutterbuck's been good. The fourth line's been good since, you know, the reunion of the best fourth line in hockey, quote unquote.
Yeah, no, it's all been, you know, really good outside that first line and that first line right wing spot, which if Barzal comes back and he's ready to go, like, it fixes all our problems right there. Maybe, you know, the back end can be a little tighter sometimes, and then the goalies, you know, I think Sorokin's been overworked a little bit recently, you know, and we're not really going to have an opportunity playing the Devils, the Caps, else is there? Yeah, we play the Devils, the Caps, and the Lightning this week. We're not really gonna have a good time to rotate here. It's gonna be all Sorokin, but yeah, it's just like it's such a good lineup once you get past that first line right wing. That once Matt Barzal fits in, like, we're gonna be awesome. But these are three huge games coming up, and they really need Barzy back for at least two of them if he can get back. But we'll see. I think he was at another basketball game today. I don't know who he went to, but looked like he was at another basketball game today. So hopefully he's walking around and all fine, but we'll see. The power play's also been very feeble outside of Brock, so it's frustrating.
He hasn't skated yet, though, so I don't understand why people think he could be back real soon.
The player quotes keep, like, every post game, Brock, Pajot, and Lee have all said, like, Barzal's coming or close. That's where that's coming from. There's been three different quotes where Lane said not skating, but then, like, they're like, yeah, Barzal's coming back. Like, Pajot was really excited to say it. And, you know, it's one of those things where we're just living on a prayer that he's on his way back. We're hoping that the players are right here. It's really, like, an uncharacteristic moment for the Lou Islanders that they're, like, dropping hints like that, opposed to what Lane's saying. But, you know, there is some optimism in the room he's coming back. So at least for some of the end of the season, he should be back.
They need him, and they need him bad.
and they need him locked in. No figure skater, just come in, you know, find Horvat's stick, find Lee's stick, put in the back of the net, generate stuff on the power play, open stuff up, like, be dominant, be the Matt Barzal we saw early in the season, be what you were your rookie year. He just needs to come back and be awesome, which doesn't feel like too big of an ask, knowing, like, you know, the big game player he is, but we'll see how it goes.
Spot on, I agree with that entirely. If he's back, it's a whole new ball game, and that means things will be different for the race, the playoff race for the two wild cards, which right now it's kind of down to three teams if you want to include Buffalo, but they're kind of cooked, maybe four. But it's us, the Penguins, and the Panthers. What do we think? How do we feel? I know the Panthers lost to Yaroslav Halak and the New York Rangers on Saturday, so big ups to Yaro, all four Islanders there. The bad guys help us out. We'll definitely take any help we can get because we couldn't help ourselves out.
Yeah, the Panthers, like, they're starting to struggle a little bit. They were, you know, people were calling them white hot, but the past two games, three games, they've been able to drop, which has been huge for us, you know, put them in the rear view a little bit. We blew an opportunity to blow by them and actually, like, lock this up within the next week, but they're playing the Sens, the Leafs, the Canadiens this week, and then the Blue Jackets, so hopefully that goes under 4 points. I'm not, like, crazy optimistic, but go Sens, go. Like, need that win tomorrow. Aside from that, I guess there's the Pittsburgh of this, where the Penguins have been back and forth between looking like one of the worst teams in hockey and then absolutely rallying. Like, there's absolutely no difference between this team. You know, they either look amazing, like against the Avs, or they look bad against the Stars. And the Capitals almost did us a big favor the other night. The Capitals are almost mathematically eliminated, but the Penguins have the Red Wings, the Preds, the Bruins this week. Hopefully we get some big games there out of, you know, those teams. I'm not feeling too great about it while we're playing some real world beaters. But, you know, the Penguins are either the best team in the league or the worst team in the league on any given night. So we'll see if one of those, like, you know, deep Red Wings or Predators games flip and then the Bruins come in and crush them. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, the Panthers are at home yesterday against the Rangers, had a 2-0 lead, and then they just kind of just blew it. And they lost last week against the Leafs and I believe someone else. It's certainly going to be a fun race to the end. He's got to take points when we can, and hopefully other teams continue to help us. Certainly looking like the Islanders and the Penguins, especially since they won yesterday, because Anthony Mantha is a fucking complete idiot. Tristan Jarry is hurt. I believe he's close to being back, but it's going to be a fun race. We're also good. Buffalo could run the table, but I really don't see that happening. So again, we're really like a 3-team race, and that could be a 2-team race, and then it wouldn't be a race by the end of the week. So we'll have to see game by game, day by day.
My only concern is how tough our schedule is going to be. We're playing a lot of playoff/near playoff teams. No one in the race, but we're playing the Washingtons of the world and not the Columbus Blue Jackets that we should have beat up on. Not going to harp on that. Just stating facts. You probably should beat up on the really bad teams. The only positive spin I could put on it is that we play better against better teams, which is a pretty well-known fact at this point.
Yeah, and that's fair. And also, a lot of these teams have clinched by now. So the Devils have clinched, the Lightning have clinched, and they're not really going to have a shot at home field against Toronto. So some of these teams might be resting guys, going to their backups, getting guys ready. I think the Devils will take tomorrow seriously because they're still duking out with the Canes. But by the time the weekend rolls around and we're playing Tampa, Carolina, Tampa, we have a really good shot of, you know, maybe facing a – yeah, you never know what the Islanders, like, they could see, what was his name? Who's Tampa's backup? Brian McElhinney or whatever? Brian Elliott?
Brian Elliott.
Yeah, so they're going to play him and, you know, maybe look feeble, who knows, with this team. And then you go against, like, Cucci or Freddie Anderson or something on Sunday. That's a bad back-to-back, but you got to take two there, at least, you know, two if not four. Yeah, it's just the schedules send you a spiral, but you have to think that every other team's looking at their schedule being like, we could fucking blow any of these games because we're in this spot right now. The math likes us. I still like us. Let's just see what we can do because it's less about what we're doing and more what the other teams around us are doing, but we can really control our destiny this week and settle it by next weekend.
Yeah, right on. Do we have anything else really to talk about Islander wise? We can go maybe to a Bridgeport prospect corner if Jake has that ready.
There's been nothing really crazy. I know Maggio is still in first in the OHL in points. I think he had a mile, so let me look that up real quick. They signed a few guys I'm blanking the names. They signed two guys to Bridgeport trial contracts, similar to what Jimmy Lambert got last year. I couldn't double-check those names, but Maggio got his 100th point like a week ago. Now he's already up to like 111. He's got 54 goals, 57 assists. Running out of words to describe the season he's having. But so yeah, the Islanders gave tryouts to defenseman Christian Kreiger. He's, I believe, a fourth round pick from a few years ago. He's been playing at Michigan State for the past couple of years. Really defensive defenseman. So never know, could be looking at the next Adam Pellick. And they also signed Jacob Pavanka, who's been at Omaha for the past few years. I believe it was a fifth-round pick. So I might be looking at the next crop of Islanders, but maybe not.
Hell yeah, brother. Shout out Bridgeport. I'm a little curious if Ishikov might get called up just to throw shit at the wall in the first line right wing. I've honestly been thinking about that a little bit this weekend, but I don't see Lou doing it this late in the season.
I just want to call Durando back up, because he's been over the past three Bridgeport games, he has 5 goals in the past 3 games or something like that. He's really been heating up lately, and we've seen what Durando has done on the NHL level when he got called up a month ago. But I guess we'll have to see about that.
Yeah, I'd like to see Durando up. I'd throw him with Horvat and Lee. Like, if you're gonna stick with that, like, Simon's not giving you much. Bailey's giving a negative. Durando maybe could be neutral, and he's looked good when it's time in the lineup. And even then, you could throw him on the third line, move Fash up. It's just not having right wingers is killing us with Wally out and Barzal out. But anyway, just to close the pod here, MLB starts this week. Big week for baseball here. Talking baseball from New York to San Diego. We'll probably do some more baseball stuff over the summer because, you know, the three of us, we love our freaking baseball. When the ball hits the bat, oh, baby. So just kind of like the segment I thought we could do here is one thing you're excited about for your team season, one thing you're not ready to see the season, and then one thing that you're curious about this season for your team. So good thing on my end. I'm excited to see Justin Verlander pitch for the New York Mets. I'm very excited to see how him and Max are able to hold up over a full season. Definitely excited for Verlander to come out game 3 of the year and see, how Verlander holds up. Reigning defending American League Cy Young winner, see if he could do it in the National League. I think this is the first time his career has ever been in the National League. So no more DH rules. So it'll be interesting to see how he holds up. And Kodai Senga, he hasn't really been throwing the forkball since his injury. I'm excited to see the forkball live at Citi Field this year, and I'm really excited for Kodai. Jake, name some things about the New York Yankees you're excited for the season.
Yeah, a better way to talk about it today, Anthony Volpe has made the opening day roster. He will be the starting shortstop. There will be no IKF at shortstop this year. Thank God. Very excited. He's only 21, had a great spring training. I think it was announced he's going to hit ninth. Grew up being a Yankee fan. Just found out he was a Giant fan. It was his last tweet. He was tweeting with the Giants. So, got to love Anthony Volpe. I think he's really going to play all this year. I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year by any means, but I think he's going to have a solid year and might be looking at a really good player. Sent Oswald Peraza down, but he'll be back up. Honestly, it's really just the same team, so it's not a lot to be excited over. They'll do their whole regular season thing, and then they'll sink in the playoffs, and their whole rotation is pretty screwed. So,
yeah, I'm excited to see Volpe come up. I picked him up in one of my fantasy leagues just to kind of take that long shot that he could be an American League MVP or Rookie of the Year this year, not the MVP, obviously. I'm excited to see Volpe up. I think it's good for New York baseball that you promote the kids and bring them up, which will bring me into my negative Mets thing. Darren Ruff is still on the roster. So starting the year is him, Darren Ruff probably being one of the 26 men unless he gets traded year DFA'd before opening day. And Brett Beatty, who's an awesome prospect, is going to have to start the year in the minors, even though you get draft compensation now for starting these guys in the big leagues. So that really sucks. Not looking forward to that. But if Darren Ruff is playing on opening day, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be livid. And I think most Mets fans will be, because he looks like a bum. Like, outside shot, he gets injury listed, and Lo Castro starts the season with the team. Love Timmy Low, but we'll see where it goes. Jake, what's something you're not excited about for the Yankees this year?
They really need a left fielder. I know they're probably going to rotate Waldo. They're going to play Judge on the left and Stan can play in right. And really just all these injuries, Rodon, Severino, Montas, they're all missing the start of the year. So guys like Domingo Herman, Johnny Brito, and Clark Schmidt will be in the rotation, and Harrison Bader's hurt. Just a lot of guys hurt right now. Hopefully they'll get healthy eventually. I think Matos is going to be out for a while, which is probably a good thing, but that trade fucking sucks. Aaron Hicks and Josh Donaldson. Aaron Boone says he thinks Josh Donaldson's in the back, bounce back. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they're both still on the roster, and IKF will still be hearing he's the utility man when Oswaldo Cabrera should be the utility man. So, not excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, your offense is still pretty good, so that's something. Like, the bottom of the lineup will kill you guys, but you're still going to get production on the top, and hopefully DJ comes back ready to play. So, wait, how's it lining up? Is Glaber going to play second, or is DJ taking that?
So, I'm pretty sure they're going to rotate Josh and DJ at third. Glaber's at second for now. They literally had months to think about if they want to trade either Glaber, Peraza, and I don't know. But I guess we'll fuck it, we ball for now.
Hell yeah, brother. And then the question mark of the season. I'm really intrigued to see how David Peterson does. He's probably won the fifth starter spot out of camp. Tyler McGill's kind of played himself out of it, even led us to signing Dylan Bundy, which is interesting. I've always liked Dylan Bundy, but he kind of fell off the radar in Minnesota last year, even though he played pitched like 130, 140 innings. But I'm excited to see how Dave Pete does. Old reliable lefty arm, nice guy. And the Mets might sign him to a contract extension this year if he does pretty good. So, excited to see how Peterson holds up. Also, like the bunch of guys coming back from the World Baseball Classic, how they adapt to the pitch clock. They didn't really get much of a spring training, Jeff and Pete, but see where it goes from there. Jake, anything on like Yankee question marks?
Yeah, I know I just brought his name up, Johnny Brito is up. I believe he's going to be third in the rotation. Pitched a lot of innings. He had, I believe, 5 shutout innings today. No walks throughout all the innings pitched. He's young, so, if he plays well, maybe he'll stick. Greg Weissert is in the bullpen role. Wasn't great last year, but he's got some good break on his pitches. So, but again, on that, it's a lot of the same guys this year. So we'll have to see. I'm excited though. Until fucking Michael Conforto hits a grand slam off of Clay Holmes in the ninth inning.
Yeah, no, I can see where that's going to be frustrating. Excited to see what Conforto does this year. My auto draft in one of my leagues wound up picking him up. We'll see how Michael does. I've always been on the bandwagon that, he's not that great. But if he comes back swinging and he's a productive piece, I'm sure the baseball media will love him out in San Francisco. But we'll see. Nothing too crazy there on the Mets end. But just, go Mets, baby. Just win as many games early as we can, because the Braves are going to be coming at some point. I'm going to have to worry all summer about that.
The chop.
That's right. Anything from you, AJ, on baseball? We did one thing we're excited about, one thing we're not excited about, and one thing we're curious about going into the year.
I mean,
for your team.
Jake said everything I would have said, so not much I could really add. I'm not the biggest baseball guy, as you know.
That's right. So that'll end our segment on talking baseball there. I think, AJ, we should be good to close out the show here. If you want to do our plugs real quick.
Yeah, how about you kick it off this time? I know you want to talk about a little something you did on the side.
Yeah, sounds good. So I joined up with our friend of the pod, Desmond, through the Island Podcast to record an episode on their waves after the Toronto win, talking about kind of the resilience of this Islanders group and how well the team's been playing. That's kind of some of it got made old over the last two games, but I think it was a really good podcast and worth listening to for everyone who loves the Islanders and can't get enough Islanders content. But yeah, so let me just wrap the pod here. Follow AJ on Twitter at DeVito Hockey. Follow me on Twitter at Rob Martin. Follow Jake on Twitter at Prime Jakey. You can follow the pod on the Twitter if you're not already, Skates and Stakes Pod, which I'd ask how you found us and what are you doing here if you're not following us on Twitter already. We're on Instagram, everything kind of in our Twitter for all of our other socials. But yeah, have a great week, everyone. You know, we'll probably touch base some point throughout the week, but let's go Islanders. Big games coming up, playoff mentality, we're here.